So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7.
You see? Your stupid minds! Stupid! Stupid!
If you just read the bio for Dr. Steve, host of Weird Medicine on Sirius XM 103 and made popular by two really comedy shows, Opie and Anthony and Ron and Fez, you would have thought that this guy was a bit of, a clown.
Why can't you give me the respect that I'm entitled to?
I've got diphtheria crushing my esophagus. I've got Ebola virus dripping from my nose. I've got the leprosy of the heart valves, exacerbating my incredible woes. I want to take my brain out and blast it with the wave, an ultrasonic echographic and a pulsating shave. I want a magic pill for my ailments, the health equivalent of Citizen Kane. And if I don't get it now in the tablet, I think I'm doomed and I'll have to go insane. I want a requiem for my disease, so I'm paging Dr. Steve.
Dr. Steve!
It's Weird Medicine, the first and still only uncensored medical show in the history of broadcast radio, now a podcast, broadcasting from the world-famous Cardiff Electric Network studios. I'm Dr. Steve with my little pal, Dr. Scott, the traditional Chinese medicine provider. It gives me street cred. Whack alternative medicine assholes. Hello, Dr. Scott.
Hey, Dr. Steve.
And my partner in all things, Tacey. Hello, Tacey.
Hello.
This is a show for people who would never listen to a medical show on the radio or the internet. If you have a question you're embarrassed to take to your regular medical provider, if you can't find an answer anywhere else, give us a call, 347-766-4323. That's 347.
Poohhead.
Follow us on Twitter at Weird Medicine or at drscottwm. Visit our website at drsteve.com for podcasts, medical news, and stuff you can buy. Most importantly, we're not your medical providers. Take everything here with a grain of salt. Don't act on anything you hear on this show. Talking it over with your healthcare provider. Please don't forget stuff.drsteve.com. That's stuff.drsteve.com for all your Amazon needs. That's the one thing that really helps keep us afloat. So if you would please use that, and you can click straight through to Amazon, or you can scroll down and see stuff that we talk about, particularly the Rode tuner. It's the holidays are coming. If you have a guitar player, a bass player, mandolin player, any stringed instrument, including banjo, I think you'll have to check that one.
Okay.
Rode.drsteve.com, the Rode robotic tuner. And then if you have somebody that has an instrument and they want to learn how to play it, get them the Rode Coach. Rode Coach is relatively inexpensive for something that will teach you how to play your instrument. So roadie.drsteve.com. And don't forget Dr. Scott's website at simplyherbals.net. We're back doing Patreon again. We did one just the other day, Tace.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was doing my live streams, I would put the link to the StreamYard in the Patreon channel only. So check that out at patreon.com/weirdmedicine. It is exclusive content for the most part. There is some shared content there, but the stuff that we produce for Patreon is Patreon only. And then we have to do a cameo today. You don't have to stay for that, Taste, but we got to do a cameo at the end of the show today. But cameo.com/weirdmedicine. I'll say fluid to your mama, or I'll make, jokes about, whatever, flatus, whatever you would like. Within reason, I will say it. And there you go. All right?
Okay.
Right on.
Please check out Dr. Scott's website at simplyherbals.net. That's simplyherbals.net for the best CBD nasal spray in the universe. That's the only CBD nasal spray I'm aware of.
Yep.
I do have a good CBD story for you, Dr. Scott.
It's a good one.
Good. And yeah. So, well, we can talk about it now, actually.
Yeah. Cool.
So I was at my wellness retreat. This is the first time we've gotten together since I went to my wellness retreat.
Right.
And it was actually quite delightful. I went to a place called Skyterra Wellness in Pisgah Forest, North Kakalaki. It's right between Asheville and Brevard, which is where I grew up. I mean, I grew up in Cashers, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Cashiers. If you say Cashiers, we know you're...
You ain't from around here.
You're a fucking tourist.
Yes.
No, it's Cashiers. So if you ever want to go there and not sound like a tourist, pronounce it correctly. Thank you. It's just like Bahama is pronounced... It's spelled Bahama, but it's Bahama.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That's a good thing I've never been there. They kick me out as a tourist.
They sure would. Well, I'm in Bahama.
My God, I made it to the Bahamas.
Right. And no, it's Bahama. And then we have Buchanan County here. It's not Buchanan. Yep. Buchanan.
That is very true.
And,
Buchanan County.
Okay, Tacy knows how to pronounce this, but H-A-Y-S-I. Just how would you pronounce that? That is a town in Virginia.
Haysa.
Correct, yes.
Give thyself a bell.
I was giving the audience a minute.
Yes.
You're correct. It is Haysa. When I first thought it, I saw it, I thought it was Haysi or something.
Haysa.
Like that.
Yeah, Haysa. Flat eye. Haysa.
Used to be part of my territory.
I know. That's how I knew you would know. But anyway, yeah. So, yeah, we sometimes pronounce our town names in a way to distinguish ourselves from people who ain't from around here.
Right on.
It's a little bit of code word. So just so you know. All right. But anyway, yeah, my CBD story. So I'm at SkyTerra Wellness, and you check in, you do all this stuff. And then the first day I'm going to a fitness class, and it was called Outdoor Circuit, where you did all these different things for X number of minutes. And they were basically trying to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And the first exercise of the first day, the first actual kick, and what we had to do was, we were just warming up. We weren't even doing the exercises yet. We had to see if you could kick your ass with your heels,
okay.
Right? So you're jumping up and down, and I tear my soleus muscle.
Oh. Now,
the soleus muscle, for people who don't know, is a muscle behind the gastrocnemius. And the gastrocnemius is named because it looks like a stomach. It's the big muscle of the calf.
The belly.
That's right. It looks like a belly. And there is a muscle nestled underneath that helps to point your toes and do some other things. Mm-hmm. And it's called the soleus muscle. And I did a partial tear of it. Basically, we'll call that a strain, but that's what it is you're ripping muscle fibers.
Mm-hmm.
How did I know? Because I've done this once before. And I asked him, you know, I was proud of myself. I didn't just lay down and go, oh, you know, I hurt myself. I pushed that fucking sled and it had like a 200-pound weight on it or whatever it was, this big, giant dumbbell weight that they put down on it, and he had to push that back and forth. And my partner, his name was John, and he was a monster. This guy, it's like, why are you here? He runs 5Ks. He does all this physical fitness stuff. He's in the gym all the time. It's like, dude, why are you even here?
Mm-hmm.
But he was a monster. And then we had to do those damn battle ropes. You ever done those friggin' things?
Yep.
They suck. It looks easy. It's like, oh, you just do a rope up and down. It's like,
they seem pretty heavy. They look heavy.
It was horrible.
Yeah,
but. And I found that if I leaned back and just kind of moved my arms up and down, I could make it look like I was doing something. And of course, they caught me and said, no, you got to, you know, bend your knees and do it just with isolate your arms.
Tighten your abdomen. Good posture.
And then we were doing the Batman thing from Batman v Superman, where Ben Affleck was taking these giant tires and flipping them over and stuff.
Mm.
So he had to do that. And then there were some other things. But I was in 10 out of 10 pain that whole time. I mean, it was awful. But I wasn't going to stop.
Oh,
I still had function, so I knew I hadn't completely ripped all the way through. And so here's where the CBD comes in. So that evening, Tacy had gotten me for my birthday, and thank you for this because you saved
You're
my
welcome.
Life, for my birthday, had gotten me a massage.
Mm.
And I go in there, and I'm limping in, and I tell this lady, I'm miserable. I ripped a muscle in my leg. And she said, do you mind if I work on it? It's like, please do. And she got these, got me down, just doing massage-y things. And then she's going to hit that leg. And she got these hot rocks. Now, when you look at the pictures are always static. They just have the hot rocks laying on you. I always thought they took hot rocks and just laid them on your back and just left them there.
Yeah, me too.
Well, no, they mush them up and down like you do with your cupping and stuff.
Yeah, okay.
And where you move the fascia around.
Yeah, sure.
And so she said, do you mind if I use some CBD oil with this? And I'm like,
please.
Mind?
Yes.
What's yes, of course. I would demand it.
Thought
if
you'd
I had
never
known.
Asked.
So she put that all over my leg and just wanked up and down just as hard as she could. And she's like, does that hurt? And it's like, yeah, it hurts real good. And I've never really had a massage. I guess Tacy and I did a couples massage a million years ago. And I don't remember anything about it. This is the first massage I've had just by myself. And I was very impressed. It actually was therapeutic. I walked out of there, not pain-free, but not limping. And then the next day, I saw the physical therapist, and what did he do, Scott? He dry-needled me.
Of course he did.
And you do that, right?
I do, yeah.
Yeah. And he dry-needled it and put some electricity on it. I put on my Twitter video of it where you could see my toes twitching every time the electrical impulses would hit. And then she got it from about an 8 down to a 4, which was perfectly manageable. And then he got it from a 4 down to a 1, and I was good the rest of the time.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, I'm a believer in massage therapy now.
Oh, yeah.
As long as you get somebody who knows what the hell they're doing.
Yep.
And that dry needling really, just to break up, because tell them what happens. When you do something like that, you get inflammation, and then what happens, and then tell them what the dry needling does. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, so you've got inflammation, and the muscles are not moving normally through their normal space.
Correct.
And anything you're trying to move past that joint, which is your foot, makes it really painful.
And so you get a little microadhesion.
You have microadhesions, so you have tears, you have microadhesions, a little scarring is occurring. So the benefit of this fascial kind of movement that she was doing with hot rocks, very similar to you've also heard the term gua sha, which is where they take.
I've never heard that.
Yeah, it's an instrument. Yeah, it's an instrument.
The boomerang.
It's like a scraping tool.
It has a name. I just thought it was a little boomerang tool.
It's gua sha is the technique, but you actually scrape the muscle and the fascia with the skin.
I told them that.
That's very similar to what you're describing.
My physical therapist did that, and he went one of these, and he pulled that out and did that shit, too.
Yeah, so it's a
gua sha.
It can be pretty uncomfortable.
No, it hurts good.
Yeah, but if it hurts so good.
How do you spell that?
G-U-A-S-H-A, G-U-A, gua.
Is it one word?
Yeah, no, two words, gua sha.
Oh, this is, okay.
Gua sha. So, so what you're doing is you're trying to.
Oh, here's a white jade gua sha gem from Herbal Academy.
Well, there you go.
Oh, hi. I have your white jade gua sha gem. Oh, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
White jade, $40. I'll take plastic, please. Oh, here's a glow one.
Yep. I'm sure they come in all kinds of shapes and sizes.
Okay,
I'm
gua sha, traditional Chinese healing method, which trained professional sometimes uses a smooth edge tool to stroke your skin.
Stroking would be a.
The motion raises small red rash-like dots that show under your skin called petechiae. Wow, that means they really hit you up pretty hard.
They hit you hard.
When you do it, do you bring up petechiae?
Depending on what I'm doing and what I'm trying to accomplish, and if it's something that's really super acute, like what you had, so in other words, you just had the injury, then what we would do is be a little bit more aggressive and try to keep those adhesions from occurring to stop the muscles from developing little scars.
Correct.
To stop your range of motion from being impaired. So I think, and just guessing, but what they're trying to do with the dry needling and the stone was to get the inflammation out of you, number one, and to stop the adhesions from occurring, number two.
Or mobilize adhesions that were already starting.
Right, yeah, just don't let them get any
worse. Or mobilize fluid.
And it should help with the pain ultimately, because I think that's one thing it becomes a little trouble to explain is that we're not necessarily, when you're talking about getting rid of inflammation, people say, well, I want my pain gone.
Right.
Well, we want the pain gone too, But before the pain goes away, sometimes we have to increase range of motions, and sometimes we have to decrease scarring. We have to do these things.
So. Well, the amount of pain that they induced, it actually, I mean, it felt good. It's weird. It's weird to say that.
Well, and you know, Dr. Stephen, from a different physiological approach on that too would be that causing an extra amount of pain is going to override the pain that you're currently having, which gives it's called the fatigue gated channel theory. But
one of the theories behind acupuncture too. Right?
Yeah, and so what we're trying to do is stimulate enough information to the spinal cord says, "Hey, sorry,
I can't do anymore.
You guys turn that off because it doesn't matter anymore."
Yeah,
and that may be kind of what they're doing too. But you know, the dry needling and acupuncture are similar. You know, dry needling is acupuncture without electrical stimulation.
Yeah,
it's pretty much what that is. And what you'll do in dry needling?
Well, he did electrical stimulation though.
So.
Just to some
the
of them.
Rare,
just to stimulate the some, muscle.
Different states, different laws, but some states, the physical therapist cannot put electrical stimulation
on that
needle
right?
because then it's not dry needling anymore. Now it's electric acupuncture.
Oh.
So I'm not saying they did anything wrong. I don't know the laws.
No, he didn't do anything wrong. He was awesome.
He was awesome, yes.
But I mean, that needle went way the hell in there, actually, through the gastrocnemius into my soleus muscle.
Yeah. It's got to go deep, And I mean, you know, some of 3 and 4 and 5 inches long. But you know, once you pierce the skin, if it didn't hurt, then you're probably not going to have much discomfort until you hit a trigger point.
Correct.
And then you're going to feel this explosion of
that makes
energy
right.
in this muscle because the muscle goes, hey, what the hell is going on here?
Okay.
And then with the dry needle, what you'll see sometimes is they'll twist the needle or spin the needle because it turns those muscle fibers deep inside and causes them to get really tight. And then you jog it in and out a little bit.
It releases.
Then you turn it back the other way, and you pull it out, and it kind of releases the muscle spasm.
Well, it really worked.
Oh, heck yeah. No, I think
so. I was very happy. The guy's name was Lee, and he's a physical therapist from Asheville, North Carolina, and I really appreciate it.
Sounds like it. I mean, and to be honest with you, Dr. Steve, you know as well as that, getting to some of those deeper muscles is a real art.
Yeah.
Because unless you've got ultrasound, you know, guidance or something.
No, he knew his anatomy.
That's what I said. You have to know your anatomy. That's why it's so vital to have somebody that's really trained in those.
The other thing that was cool was I knew this trick, but he knew how to isolate my soleus muscles so he could tell the difference between the gastrocnemius and the soleus by having me bend my leg and putting a certain amount of pressure on my foot. Right. And it's like, no, that's the soleus.
And that's why I love physical therapy.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I think physical therapists have such a great knowledge of anatomy and certainly much more so physiology than the rest of us have.
Which is
what they do.
Mm-hmm.
They should know that.
Yeah, I was very impressed.
So that's pretty awesome.
By the way, I got you and me a gig playing music for the Friday night bonfire there one night if we want to. It's, you know, it's a 2 hours each way.
Does this include a couples massage?
No.
Dang it. I was going to say, if there was a couples massage, I'm in, man.
Damn it. Why didn't I think of that?
You're a fucking
idiot.
Why didn't I think of that?
I know. Damn, man. So we could have double time today. We could have a couples massage and then play some music out by the bonfire.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
Afterglow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it sounds great.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
The place sounds pretty special.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
That's good stuff.
I'd love to give something back. They do a podcast, too, so... I'm going to talk to one of the guys about doing a podcast with him on virtual meditation.
Oh, yeah.
Through the Trip app.
Okay.
Which, by the way, I did use my Trip app when I was there, and it was amazing. I demonstrated it for a few people. Mm-hmm. I had this lady from New Orleans, and she was 70, didn't look anywhere close to 70, but she was very progressive in her ideas, and she wanted to try it. So we sat outside of my place, and I had internet out there, because with the virtual reality helmet, it's nice to be outside because you can create a really large area that you can walk around in and stuff.
Cool.
And she did it, and I did it for 2 or 3 people just to wanted to try it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty neat.
That's awesome. I would love to go over there and play. That sounds like a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, it would be fun.
So, did you have like your own little apartment or a little hotel room kind of?
No, a house.
Oh, a house. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. There's a bunch of duplexes, and it looks kind of rustic from the outside, but when you go in, even Tacy would go, hey, yeah, I could stay here.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it was really, really nice, kind of, because Tacy's picky about her lodging. And
she's a glam.
It was
she's
grade A.
Glam queen.
And the food was amazing. Not just tasty, it really was, but they turned me around on some things. I realized that I've been protein deficient all this time because the guy, one of the nutritionists had us calculate how much protein we're supposed to be getting every day by, based on our basal metabolic rate. And it was like, oh, crap, I don't ever come close to that. So
were they suggesting as far as adding proteins? What kind of proteins?
Well, you know, it depends. If you're pescatarian, you'd have to add fish. But he said, listen, a lot of people have trouble. So he recommended some whey protein supplements.
Okay.
You know, I'm cool with chicken and I'm cool with red meat every once in a while. Mm-hmm. So, you know, first night back, I made Tasty their flat iron steak recipe,
which was
pretty fabulous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was fabulous. And I made scallops last night and stuff, and, just kind of changing it up. Because what was happening was, we were, and we'll move on to questions here in a second. I know everybody's bored with this, but what we were doing is I was cooking the same shit every night, and we were getting bored of it. It's like, let's just order out, and that is a death
terrible
nap.
Idea.
Plus, I got a minimum of 10,000 steps in every day at that place.
Isn't it wonderful though?
Yes, but and let me tell you
it's
what.
Wonderful.
Here's the thing.
But it takes time to do it. That's the problem.
I don't even care about that. It's I had a purpose because I was walking from my house to the clubhouse, you know, where all the activities were, back to my house, back to the clubhouse, down to the swimming
mailbox.
Pool, which they called the natatorium, up to the, you know, outdoor aerial yoga place and all this stuff. And, you know, I had places to go and then I had to be at, you know, and I didn't mind it because I had a purpose. What I realized I can't stand is going to the track and walking round and round and round 8 times. That's bullshit.
That stuff.
I get one done and I'm like, you know, are we done yet?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to start playing tennis with Mike Archdeacon.
Okay.
Chef Mike, for
Chef
those
Mike,
who go way back, that was Lawyer Bitch's ex-husband. Now
or lawyer's bitch ex-husband.
Well, that was her name. That was her own name for herself.
Oh, it was? Okay, I'm sorry.
No. I wouldn't just call her that.
Yeah, I thought you were just making.
Well, it's like me calling your ex-wife the doctor bitch. I wouldn't do that. Because
she would agree.
I don't have her permission, but no, lawyer bitch. That was. They were going to do a podcast, Lawyer Bitch and the Chef. And then, you know, things didn't work out. So. But anyway.
No.
So I'm going to do that because that I'll do. There's a purpose to it. I can schedule it. It's fun. I'll take the dogs for a walk. I took them to, you know, anyway, nobody gives a shit what I'm up to. But anyway, but yeah, so it was fun. But the CBD was amazing. So thank you. I've already forgot her name.
Tasty.
No. Oh, that's horrible. Diane. Different Diane. All right. Now, what we were doing back in the day before I left.
Number one thing, don't take advice from some asshole on the radio.
And we should probably talk about ketamine, too, at some point. I talked about it every night on my live streams. So you can go to youtube.com/@weirdmedicine. Go to live streams. I live streamed every night from there. Tried to get the coyotes on video. Could not get it done. Every time they would start their shit, I would run out and they would shut up.
Oh, yeah.
I just couldn't. I couldn't fool them.
Whoa.
But anyway, Tasty's got some topics. We can talk a little ketamine. And then we're still back in 2014 clearing up old phone calls, and we're going to get up to where COVID starts, and I'm deleting all the COVID calls.
Yeah, it sounds
but
good.
But in 2014, we know there won't be any COVID calls.
Right on.
All right. Okay, here we go.
It's Tasty's time of topics, a time for Tasty to discuss topics of the day. Not to be confused with Topic Time with Harrison Young, which is copyrighted by Harrison Young and Area 58 Public Access. And now, here's Tasty.
Well, hello, everyone.
Hello, Tasty.
Doctors say looking at busty women for 10 minutes a day is good for your health.
Wait, looking at what kind of women?
Busty.
Okay.
Staring at busty women can lengthen your life. A German study published in the New England Journal of Medicine concludes that staring at women's breasts for a few minutes daily is better for your health than going to the gym.
Excuse me, this was in the New England Journal of Medicine?
That's what it says.
What?
And I just paid all this money to go to Skyterra. I could just be looking at boobs.
Yeah. Well, you do that anyway.
It's as good. No, I don't just stare at them. What, how many minutes of gym time is it like?
Well, just 10 minutes of looking at the charms of well-endowed females is equivalent to a 30-minute aerobic workout.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm Holy in. Cow.
The research team
Who saw that coming?
spent 5 years monitoring the effects of this unique discovery. The men who were told to stare
I'm
at bosoms
I'm
going to
guarantee
daily,
you it was a bunch of guys yeah, did this
I'd
study.
Like to, I'd like to see who did the study.
Yeah.
Had lower blood pressure and lower breasting pulse rates and also decreased their risk of coronary artery
Did you
disease.
Say breasting heart rate? Because I think you did say that.
I might have. There's no question. Gazing at large breasts makes men healthier.
Nice.
Men over 40 should spend at least 10 minutes daily admiring breasts size D cup or larger.
What the hell? That's okay. So the doctor said
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. So where? Go. Just anywhere? Should I go out in the... In public.
I mean, you've got them right here.
Mm-hmm.
YouTube.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
It's true. Yeah. Topic number two.
Hmm.
Oh, that was the end of that?
That was the end
I
of
guess.
That.
I guess. Well,
how much exercise do we not have
30 minutes.
Now?
30 minutes.
Oh, that's okay.
Of aerobic activity.
Huh.
Yeah, I think that's pre-reduction mammoplasty tape.
No, it isn't. I wish... That were true.
Tacy's but... the only woman that had a reduction mammoplasty and her boobs grew back.
Oh, jeez.
Well,
they're still not
stuff.
As ginormous as they were.
Ridiculous.
But anyway, it's okay.
Topic number two. Scientists discover path to treating pain without addictive opioids.
Okay. Okay. Stare at boobs for 10
That's
minutes
right.
a day.
So just or, bear with me
Instead of taking
on
a 10 milligram hydrocodone, you can just stare at boobs for 10
yeah.
minutes.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, that's, there you go. Perfect.
Sounds
so,
very similar
that's
to
testable,
what I just said.
Testable, isn't it?
Yeah, we could test that.
Overdoses, including prescription opioids, heroin, and synthetic opioids like fentanyl, killed more than 80,000 people in the U.S. and nearly 88% in 2021, and nearly 88% of those deaths involved synthetic opioids. In the journal Neuron from the University of Chicago, suggests scientists may have taken a step towards finding one. When they have not developed any new drugs, they are looking into new pathways.
Right.
That's... In mice. They identified...
There are more. There's more steps to this pathway than just the opioid receptor. That's the problem.
Right.
Tramadol was a non-opioid medication. Everybody's like, well, it won't be addictive because it's not derived from the opium poppy. It still stimulates the mu opioid receptor, and therefore, no one should have been surprised when people got, you know, habituated to
mm-hmm.
it. So anyway, go ahead.
In mice, they identified an alternative signaling pathway in the brain that alleviates pain. This was a case even in animals that have a tolerance to powerful drugs.
Good.
When taken through this pathway, pain relief did not result in withdrawals. It also did not trigger reward systems in the brain.
Wouldn't that be nice? So take the pain and pleasure center out.
Yep.
Just turn the pain signals
off.
Meaning a smaller risk of... what do you call it?
What?
Addiction?
Habituation.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, there may be no risk. I mean, you could just turn those fibers off, and there may not be any downside to it.
Mm-hmm.
I could imagine a circuit that is downstream from the mu opioid receptor, and you just turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be amazing. And we need a new paradigm for pain.
Well, if you think just the peripheral nerves, the peripheral nervous system, if you can keep the pain signals from getting to the spinal cord,
correct.
That's kind of what you want to do.
Right.
And now you don't have to involve the brain so much.
Right. Well, that's true.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. You
maybe
can,
that's part of it.
You can not send the signal to the brain.
Right.
Or you can halt it. On its way to the brain, it's kind of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could turn off the brain's response to it.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, tell the circuits in the brain, just ignore these impulses.
Accept this and don't do anything about it. Yep.
So capsaicin, for example, is a substance that's in red peppers that if you put it on the skin properly compounded, it can deplete a thing called substance P, which is a pain... transmitting neurotransmitter. Mm-hmm. And so it'll deplete it so that those fibers can no longer send pain signals to the brain.
Right.
That's the hypothesis behind that. So what Dr. Scott does is that gated, you know, overload therapy.
Yeah, fatigue gated channel.
Yeah, yeah. Fatigue gated channel thing, mm-hmm. which is another way of telling the spinal column, don't send these pain impulses to the brain. Antidepressants will do the same thing. Mm-hmm. They decrease signals in the dorsal horn of the spinal column mm-hmm. to decrease those pain signals going to the brain. I'm interested to see what pathway this is. Do they name it, Tace?
The ventrolateral paraquedectal
there you go.
Gray.
Yes. So this is actually in the brain. And so that's that next thing that we were just talking
above
about.
Above the spinal column.
Turning the brain, telling the brain, just tell that signal to go fuck itself.
Yep.
That's interesting. So it's periaqueductal gray matter.
Mm-hmm. Yes. They found that pain relief through this circuit was not associated with withdrawal effects commonly associated with opioids. And it also talks about the neurotransmitter acetylcholine and how it's involved in these circuits, and it can change pain responses.
Sure.
Those receptors usually generate more activity in the nervous system, but when a drug was injected that targeted this receptor in mice, it relieved pain for several hours.
Do you know how they tell that in mice? It's horrible.
No, I don't want to know.
Okay.
They'll put them on hot plates
and stuff.
Oh, no, there's testing things.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. That was the old way of doing it.
Huge and extremely unexpected outcome. They did not expect this at all.
Do they say what the drug is?
No, there's no drug yet.
Well, they said they injected something.
Yeah, but how did
I don't know. It said we did not see evidence of tolerance to the pain-relieving effects. They're just talking about messing with the pathway.
Yeah, it might have been just simple saline. I mean, they may have just, you know, or it may have been a mixture, like you said, the capsaicin. You know, because you think...
I don't want them injecting capsaicin into my brain.
No, but... Maybe
they were just interrupting the pathway, like, surgically.
I believe so, because it says we are exploring the mechanisms underlying the change in acetylcholine release in the brain area during painful experiences.
Yeah.
We want to find other ways to recruit or activate the system for relieving pain, and that will keep us busy for the next few years.
Well, you know, the other thing is it could be like a deep brain stimulator. They could have done a little DBS on those mice.
We'll talk about what that is.
Yes, sometimes what they'll do with a deep brain stimulator is run an electric probe into the brain, surgically, of course, to a certain specific space. And they'll do this. They originally started doing this for movement disorders.
Correct.
So people that have Parkinson's
treatments done that way.
Right, yeah. And they make these fancy little slits in the skull and drive these rods down through there. And then you have a remote control, and you can kind of turn on the impulse or turn the impulse down depending on how much information you need. You know, they've got that. And then the spinal cord stimulators, they're called dorsal column stimulators,
mm-hmm.
the DCSs. They'll put anywhere in the spinal cord, and it interrupts those pain signals.
Right.
So they're not doing anything.
The signal's still being generated. It just interrupts it on its way to the brain.
Right. Yeah. And kind of floods the system with information so that you don't. So that pain coming from your foot or your leg or ankle or anywhere, wherever, is not able to go all the way to the brain.
Kind of like if your
house
is being bugged and you turn the TV on real loud so that you can have a conversation.
Yeah, because you still got the pain. You've still got the pain.
But the FBI can't hear.
You've still got the pain, but you're not having the pain. Your brain is not perceiving the pain, so you're not suffering as much.
Correct.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah, that was a good one, Tace.
Good job, Tace.
That is all I have.
That's all you have. Okay, very good.
We've got a bell. You deserve it on that. That was a good one. So who said it was, I think it's like a Hickey said, well, it would be interesting if all these male doctors that did this research were boob guys or ass guys. What happens if they're ass guys?
Yeah.
I thought about that.
Is it the same if you're an ass
right,
guy?
Right. Yeah. Did they isolate their bias?
Just breast or could it be anything?
It
toes
not
or
say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a very short article.
Yeah. I wonder why.
It was in the New England Journal. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they couldn't finish it because they had to go beat off. That's
oh
horrible.
My gosh.
Okay. All right. Let's do this.
Number one thing. Don't take advice from some asshole on the radio.
All right. Let's see what we got here. Now we're just doing these at random. Okay. And let me see what we've got here. All right. I have no idea. So,
hey there, Steve. This is Luke from either.
This is April 26, 2014. I'm so sorry. This is 9 years ago, plus some change.
Dextromethorphan. I know it gets a bad name. It has its abusive properties, whatever. But I firmly believe that, if taken in the right dose for each individual, you get with the doctor, find out what works best for you. I think it can be used as a performance-enhancing drug,
Okay, he's asking about dextromethorphan as a performance-enhancing drug. Now, dextromethorphan is the right-hand molecule of levomethorphan. Levomethorphan is one of the most potent opioids. It's not even sold in this country right now. And dextromethorphan, because it's, a right-handed molecule, and levomethorphan is a left-handed molecule. And what I mean by that is the stereochemistry of these things is that such that if you line them up, the molecule will wrap around your right hand if your thumbs are up. So you put your thumbs up and curl your fingers around. That's your right-handed molecule, stereochemistry. And then the left-handed molecule will be the other way with your left thumb up and your fingers curled toward you. And when I did organic chemistry, half of it was stereochemistry.
Okay.
And so when you hear dextro and levo or, words like that, that's what they're talking about. So you've got dexmethamphetamine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then you have, levo.
Levothyroxine.
There you go, levothyroxine. Yeah. If you have methamphetamine, if you want to try to fool your doctor, if you're doing meth, you go, well, I'm doing a bunch of Vicks inhalers. Because if you look at the Vicks inhaler, at least the old ones, I got a stuffy nose, doc. Things actually had methamphetamine in them.
Oh, my word.
But it was L-methamphetamine, the levo, the left-handed version of methamphetamine. Street methamphetamine is D-methamphetamine. Now, if your doctor's dumb, they'll just go, oh, okay. But if they're smart, they will do a stereochemistry analysis where they break it down into what's the percentage of D-methamphetamine versus L-methamphetamine. Okay? Well, anyway. So... and then if it's all D, then you're lying. If it's all L, then you are doing Vicks VapoRub, or not Vicks VapoRub, but Vicks nasal inhalers. And I actually have seen that before back in the day when we first started doing those analyses. Every once in a while, you got somebody on their drug screen and show meth, but they were actually, it was all L, and it was coming from a Vicks inhaler. I believe that they have different active ingredient now, but... it was always kind of weird to look at the active ingredients and methamphetamine on it. But anyway, dextromethorphan is the right-handed version of levomethorphan.
Okay.
And as far as it being a performance-enhancing drug, I'm not aware of that. Are you?
I don't think I've ever heard of it being used for that purpose, but I'm a former athlete. I'm not as
well. I wonder what performance they're talking about.
I don't know. I'll look it up.
So I have here effect of a single dose of dextromethorphan on psychomotor performance and working memory capacity, and it said there was significant deterioration in three back working memory task but it was statistically significant, and no other significant changes were seen. So it had no effect on attention and arousal, but impaired the working memory capacity. So in that regard, it's not performance enhancing. Matter of fact, it's just the other way around. Now, I'm looking at supplements that pro athletes take, and I'm going to just do a quick search for dextromethorphan.
I cannot imagine what benefit you would get from that.
Well, let's see what they say. I'm going to think that they're going to say because it's an expectorant or a cough suppressant that may help them with their breathing.
Okay.
But it says performance-enhancing drugs like dextromethorphan, doxylamine succinate, pseudoephedrine, chlorpheniramine, and all of these chemicals are typical ingredients in over-the-counter cold medicine. So let's see. Yeah, but it doesn't say what dextromethorphan could possibly be enhancing. Here's a prohibited list of drugs.
I wonder if it keeps them from getting tired.
Well, I don't know. Why would it, though? I mean, it is. It does hit the opioid receptors, but it hits the non-chiral ones or the the right-handed ones.
Right.
Okay, here's intelligence bulletin from the Department of Justice on dextromethorphan. And it just basically says, when ingested at recommended dosage levels, dextromethorphan is generally safe and highly effective. However, when ingested in larger amounts, it produces negative physiological effects. So abusers ingest increasing amounts of dextromethorphan based on their weight. The first plateau is inebriation. Second plateau is like alcohol intoxication. Third, an altered state of consciousness. And the fourth is an out-of-body experience comparable to the effects caused by ketamine or phencyclidine or PCP. So, you know, you can overpower that sort of stereochemistry thing by just giving enough of the medication. So okay. Let's not do that. But I don't see how it's performance enhancing. Do you?
No.
Do you see anything?
I haven't seen anything at all.
Yeah.
Unless it's like it's non-drowsy, so maybe it just gives, it's kind of like speed.
Well, it's non-drowsy, but it's not speedy, though. It's actually, you know, an opioid analog. So I just, you know.
I have to do a little digging into that.
Okay. Yeah. Don't. I'm going to come up with a
We're not giving a yes or no.
Busted or on that one. Yeah. Okay. This one is from June 13, 2015.
Hey, Dr. C. This is Doug in New Orleans.
Hey, Doug.
I want to ask you about narcotic pain medication.
Okay.
In my life, I've found that Vicodin and its related drugs do not really affect me in any way, shape, or form.
Okay. There are people like that.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are simply ultra-fast metabolizers. Some people just don't seem to have the opioid receptors everybody else has. You know, if you have just a single molecule off in your genetic makeup for those receptors, these medications may not work.
I've been prescribed them before, and I just feel no effect.
Okay.
On the other hand, stuff like Percocet and the oxycodone family, I do get pain reduction from.
I see.
From.
Okay.
So my question is that typical? Is it normal for somebody to have no effect from something like Vicodin and a full effect from Percocet?
I don't think it is typical, but there is a difference between hydrocodone, which is Vicodin, and oxycodone. Hydrocodone primarily stimulates the mu opioid receptor only.
Mm-hmm.
The oxycodone stimulates mu and kappa. So it actually hits a different opioid receptor.
Gotcha.
And so there may be some people that are mu deficient but have plenty of kappa receptors. Maybe that's it. Maybe they have to have the signal from both of them. Methadone hits the mu and delta receptor. Plus, it antagonizes another receptor called N-methyl diaspartate, which just basically, I know, you should be impressed, deals with tolerance and neuropathic pain.
Oh, wow.
So these things all do different things. And if all of us were exactly the same, we'd only need one drug.
Yep.
We just need morphine or hydrocodone or hydromorphone.
Yep.
Those are the big mu opioid receptors. Then oxycodone, Percocet, OxyContin, Xtampza, those things are mu and kappa. And then you have fentanyl is pure mu.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had people that, you know, you put a transdermal fentanyl patch on them and it does nothing.
Yeah.
And you just go up and up and up. And then if you convert them to another opioid based on that dose, this is an art of medicine
they're
thing,
in trouble,
my friends. They're
yeah.
in big trouble
yep.
because it wasn't working and you can't convert someone from that really high dose where you just cranked them up.
Yeah.
And they weren't getting it or whatever was happening. Their skin doesn't.
It's kind of like it's kind of like a stereo. You turn way up and don't realize it's on mute.
Yes, and then you hit the mute button. Thank
like,
you.
Oh,
I'm going to give you a bell for that.
Myself a bell.
That's a great analogy, and I'm going to use that in my talks from now on. Yeah, thank you. That's a good one.
Certainly.
All right, but anyway, so yeah, it's not the norm, but it's not unheard of. Okay, here's one from June 13, 2015.
Hey, Dr. Steve. So
My question is, what can cause a very stinky asshole? Now, I'm asking because...
Sorry, this is 10 years ago. He's hopefully he figured it out.
Yeah.
I tend to have... I have this smell that fucking follows me around, right? And I swear it's my ass. And, like, I wash regularly, like, twice a day, and I wipe to my best, you know, best possible extent that I can. I feel like it just always stinks, and it kills me. Like, I want to be out in public or something, and I can smell my own asshole, and I'm just like, well, you know, shit, I imagine.
Have you ever had just a smell up in your own nose, and you thought that you smelled, and you are smelling, but it's your nose is smelling something that's not, no one else can smell. But
everybody else can smell my asshole as well.
God, I wish we'd answered.
So, you know, I'm just wondering, like, what could cause that? What are some things that I could do to maybe try to prevent that?
Okay. So I have some ideas.
Yeah.
It is a great question. Yeah. You got any ideas for him? I have some ideas.
Well, I've got a couple. You know, at first I'd want to make sure it's really his asshole.
Right. Is anyone else complaining about
it? Yeah, I was going to say, to me, that would be a big, pretty big stretch to identify that, because it could be anything from your nose to your fucking toes.
Correct. It has to be the first question.
Yeah.
You got to have somebody close to you, even have them put their nose down there.
Yep.
Do you smell anything?
Yep.
And if they say no, then it's in your nose. Mm-hmm. In which case,
a staph infection in the nose.
That's a good one. Probably. I'm not giving you another bell because Tasty will get mad.
That's true.
But get a Navage.
Right.
And
or your Simply Herbal's nasal spray.
Or Simply Herbal's nasal spray. Well. Yes, of course. Well, do
with
both.
With the CBD, of course, yeah.
Do both.
Yeah.
By the way, that CBD nasal spray has the most delightful, earthy, cannabis-type smell. It's really good.
Yes, thank you.
Anyway, but yeah, get a Navage, Neti Pot, use Dr. Scott's stuff, you know, do both, and see if that makes a difference. If it does, then it was something up in your nose. Mm-hmm. Get an ear, nose, and throat person to look up there, or your primary care if they know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. You may have a deviated septum. He's got some fungus growing up there.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you just don't know.
And you would want to know that sooner than later.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Not 10 years later. No. So the other thing, now, if it is your ass, now, what I would want to know is, do you have any pain? Because could you have a fistula?
Yes.
A fistula basically being a communication from the inside of the colon to the outside of the skin of the ass that's not the asshole.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's a tunneling thing. It's a chronic infection. Smells like hell. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have that, then maybe you just need a bidet.
Mm-hmm. And he could have a little fungus if he's got a really sweaty nuts or something
that.
I mean,
yes,
he could have anything.
Yeah, look. Do you see redness there?
Yeah.
Get a black light out.
Yep.
If it glows a very beautiful salmon pink, you have erythrasma. We had somebody in the last year that took a black light to their junk, and it glowed salmon pink, and it turned out they had erythrasma. They went to their doctor, and they said, I think I have erythrasma. And they were like, and they were very impressed that this person came in there.
They knew it.
That's probably the first time in the history of medicine someone went into their doctor and said, I think I have erythrasma, out of the blue. But anyway, erythrasma being not a fungus, but a bacterium, a Carinii bacterium, that causes a jock itch-like rash, but it will not go away with antifungals.
Right.
You got to treat it with antibiotics. But anyway, so yeah, there's all of those things that this could possibly be. But the bidet, I'm telling you, there is no reason not to have a bidet anymore. Moen sells a bidet toilet seat. You don't need electricity. Now, it's going to be water temperature that's in your toilet, but it's, you know, it's not that cold. It actually feels good. Yeah. You take a nice, big, giant, hot, you know, greasy, you know, bowel movement, and that cold water feels good.
Oh, my God.
That feels good. So, but there's a bunch of different toilet seats that you can buy now, and they're under $100. I used to push the Tushy attachment. But I'm thinking the toilet seat's the way to go because it's all just integrated.
Agreed.
Yeah, very easy to install. Just get a damn bidet. If you've been thinking about it, you need to get one.
Yep. Just back up a little bit and let it wash your nuts while you're at it. Just because it might be that.
No, you can give yourself, if you get one of the ones that's got the high power, you can do a little mini enema while you're in there. Get a little bit, you know, a couple inches cleaned out inside.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome.
I love it.
No more skid marks. No more itchy ass. No more hemorrhoids. No more proctitis. Because you're wiping and wiping and wiping. Tacy's mom uses like a roll of toilet paper a day. And it's like, what are you doing? She's like, well, I want to be clean. It's like, you're not clean. Mm. You're just irritating your ass crack.
Making it worse.
We need to give her that damn extra bidet seat that we have now.
Well, I don't know if it would work because she has one of those seats that stands tall.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, the extender.
She's got one of them. Hers probably lifts her up like a lift chair.
I don't know if it does.
I don't know what it does. Anyway, but that's the protocol. First thing you do if you think your ass is smelling, as embarrassing as it is, ask somebody else if they smell it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
They don't have to stay in there for long.
No. All right. Okay, we just have a couple minutes, but I think we can do this one as a short question.
Steve, I hope everything's well. I had a question. What do you do, and how do you figure out whether you have balanitis?
No, balanitis.
B-A-L-A-N-T-I-S. No. How are some ways to figure out whether if you have it, and if you do have it, how to treat it? I have red spots all over my penis head, and I don't understand what...
Okay, now, balanitis is inflammation of the head of the penis, yes, but... This person sent this in before Google Image existed. So all you got to do is just Google Image balanitis. But it's inflammation of the head of the penis, the glans penis, the Roman war helmet, and not just little dots. Usually, I mean, it is really inflamed. Mm-hmm. And little red dots often can just be...
overuse syndromes.
Oh, yes. Could be overuse. Could be fungus.
Yeah.
Could be, just bacterial.
An irritation. Or
just
kind of,
irritation, right.
Yeah.
Now, do you know what it's called when the foreskin or the prepuce is inflamed?
Mm. No.
It's okay. It's postitis.
Postitis.
Yeah. P-O-S-T-H-I-T-I-S. And then balanopostitis involves the glands and the foreskin. And that'll occur in approximately 6% of uncircumcised males. Now, if GVAC were still here, and I can just hear him right now saying, so you advocate circumcision, right, Dr. Skin? Dr. Steve? Dr. Skin.
Dr. Skin.
I'd like to be Dr. Skin. But, yeah, and he'd always try to get me in trouble with the intactivists.
Yes.
So, anyway. All right.
He was quite the instigator.
Yes, he was. Mm-hmm. Quite a delightful young man. All right. You got anything from the waiting room? We have about 1 minute left.
Well, it looks like Hickey said that her son did a report for school to argue against not washing your jeans every time you wear them and found out that the average person farts between 11 and 15 times a day.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Yeah, that is true. And I think we talked about the overall volume of flatus that someone does in their lifetime, and the amount of gas we pass through our bowels is huge. It's nothing as prodigious as cows.
No.
Because people are still saying, oh, cows are the reason we have, a CO2 problem and all that kind of stuff. Mm. And that's just a way to thin out. I mean, what are you talking? You're just going to kill all these cows? I mean, if you're an animal lover and you don't want people eating cows, I can understand that. Then what are you saying when you're saying that cows are the number one cause of global, of CO2 retention in the atmosphere? You want us to just kill the cows? You want to just murder them?
Don't be a cow hater.
Cows are cute.
Yeah, they're cute.
And they're ruminants.
Yes. And they do funny things.
And they're tasty, too.
They are.
Awful tasty. Anyway. I don't understand that one, but anyway. All right. We still have, how many phone calls do we have from 2014? We have hundreds of them, and we're going to get to all of them eventually.
What about the ones that are coming in now?
Well, we'll get to those, in 2033. Well, okay, so we'll do the. I'll do some alternating.
I think that's the correct way.
When we get up to 2021, then
delete.
Then I'm going to delete everything that says has the word COVID on it. But yeah, no, we'll alternate starting. It's just kind of fun going back. I had no idea that we hadn't answered questions that went back 10, 11 years. That's ridiculous. I know there was a period of time there where I kind of got, I just got behind. There's just nothing I can say other than that. I just got way, way, way behind. And I apologize for that. And if you hear yourself 10 years later, give us a call and let us know, hey, I finally heard my phone call. Well, thanks always go to Dr. Scott. Thanks, Tace. Thanks to everyone who's made the show happen over the years. Listen to our SiriusXM show on the Faction Talk channel. SiriusXM channel 103, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern, on demand and other times at Jim McClure's pleasure. Many thanks to our listeners whose voicemail and topic ideas make this job very easy. Go to our website, drsteve.com, for schedules, podcasts, and other crap. And don't forget to check out Dr. Scott's website at simplyherbals.net. Until next time, check your stupid nuts for lumps, quit smoking, get off your asses, get some exercise. We'll see you in 1 week for the next edition of Weird Medicine.
Okay, goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7. So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7.